The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, we're joined here with Bob Halpin. He is the Director of Operations for Daikin Comfort Technologies. Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So today, we're talking about A2Ls, more specifically R32. There's
yes,
a lot of exciting things happening.
Yes, sir.
In fact, I heard from Sally today that we are making our first shipments of R32 product back actually out to distribution.
Yeah, that's right. And they should be starting shipping them out to the branches by the end of July. So very exciting. Very exciting.
So with that, there's a lot of resources that we have made available. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, I think it might be a good idea to start with the training resources that we've already made available. You particularly have made available to our dealers and customers. I'm wondering if maybe we could just give a high overview of the incentive program that we have included in that, in what's going on with the training for our customers.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, we've got a lot of great training programs that have been available. We started out with our Preparing for 2023 Roadshow, where we kind of introduced A2Ls and what that meant to the industry as we were moving forward.
Sure.
We just last week, we did our very first R32 Roadshow event.
I heard about that.
We had close to 100 people that showed up at the event.
Outstanding.
And it was great just to be out there in front of contractors and answering a lot of the questions in terms of, you know, how do I store A2Ls? How do I transport them? How
right.
do I safely handle right. them? How do I match equipment up? You know,
sure.
all of the important things that everybody needs to know. But we've got training available through simulation-based training. So if somebody wants to put a VR headset on, and they can do that.
It's pretty cool.
There's video training that our tech services team has worked really hard to put together
right,
that's available
right.
Through the HVAC Learning Campus.
Yep, I've seen a lot of that.
In.
Yeah, that's really, really good stuff.
And then there's live and in-person training that can be requested and can be done at a dealer's choice of location. So,
yep.
I mean, there's lots of tools and resources available. But I think what you're talking about, we've got a great incentive.
Yeah, I heard there's a rewards program that we're offering to our dealers and customers to just learn more and then get a few points and be able to buy some stuff with it.
Yeah, so actually they put it together. It's travel vouchers, so mm-hmm. everybody's always looking for a vacation.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
And if you can have somebody, take care of the airfare for you, you
right.
know, that's kind of fun. So there's travel vouchers for anywhere in the United States. And so it's really cool. And all somebody has to do is, number one, first go and sign up for Dealer First.
Okay.
But if you don't know how to sign up for Dealer First, you can talk to your territory sales manager or to one of the branch employees.
They yeah, branch manager, branch right CSRs area. Will be able yeah. to hook you up too. Yeah.
So once you get on Dealer First, there's two 15-minute videos, and then you can watch those at your leisure whenever you want to do. And so you kind of get that box checked off.
Yep.
And then we're asking for people to make sure they have the right tools.
Okay.
And so the good news is there's not a whole lot of changes that you're going to have to make.
Right. Right.
So we're asking for people to get the right hoses, get the right gauges, and so if they've updated and they've got the right tools and they're set to go, that's great. And then, of course, get a jug of refrigerant.
Makes sense.
Because if you're going to install the equipment, you need to have the refrigerant to
sure.
be able to get the right charge in the system.
Sure.
And then after that, purchase four units, four R32 units. And once you've done that, taking a picture of those four units that you've installed, you get the voucher sent to you.
Oh, that's outstanding. Yeah, hopefully we'll get a lot of movement on that and definitely an incentive. Got to learn about R32 anyways, right? May as well get some kind of incentivization to do that. And for sure, they can definitely ask at our branches if they need some more details. There'll be some graphical materials in our branches that'll refer to QR codes that'll take them straight to the HVAC Learning Campus, and there'll be details in that as well.
Absolutely.
Might not be a bad idea to maybe talk about some of those marketing materials that we're going to have sending out to our branches if you'd like.
Yeah.
And so in the next couple of weeks, we're gonna send a kit to all of our branches, and they'll be displaying some different materials that'll help our customers, our dealers, to get more familiar with the products and a couple of tools that'll be able to walk away with as well, right? Of course, we're going to have posters in our branches. On the posters, it'll be, you know, R32 specific, asking if our customers, if our dealers are R32 ready, and they'll have a QR code on that poster that'll take them exactly to the R32 resource page on the HVAC Learning Campus, where there's myriad materials, as you know, that allow them, but specifically to the R32 page, which is specific to that changeover. In addition to that, we'll have door clings, and so as soon as the a customer walks in, they'll see a door cling right at the door that says, "Are you R32 ready?" We'll just kind of put in our customer's mind that this branch is also preparing for that changeover, as well as the posters in there. And then we'll have some cool handheld tools that the customers will be able to walk away with. Right, we'll have a pocket guide, which will have a ton of information that kind of covers the big precepts that we're putting out about it's available, it's easy, right? Those things. And then it'll be like a 4 or 5 page little pocket guide to be able to take with them, have a QR code on that as well. That'll take them to further information. And then we'll have a pressure temperature chart that'll just something you put in your pocket and they can take with them. And all those digital materials, all those paper materials will also be available digitally, right? So we'll load them also to the learning campus so that if you got a pocket guide, then you forgot what you did with it, you can always just log on to the HVAC Learning Campus and access those materials. One cool thing that's happening right now in our branches is that if you go into one of our branches, you buy something and you get a receipt for whatever you purchase, there's already a QR code on the customer receipt to the R32 resource page on the HVAC Learning Campus. Right at the top of the receipt, it says, "Are you R32 ready? Scan me." Then you can just scan that right on your receipt, and it'll take you straight to that page again, as well as the receipts that we email to our customers. There's an email version of our receipt, has a QR code that has a clickable link on it as well, takes you to the same space. So, that's the first thing that we're seeing in our branches, that our customers can grab onto, hit a QR code and get more information. And then the graphical materials will be out by the end of July, beginning of August.
So the R32 resources page, there's a lot of information that's on that one page, but you've got your calendar of training, so somebody can take a look at all of the training that we have available.
Yep.
You've also got some other great downloadable resources that you've talked about. There's white papers in there. There's the pressure temperature chart. There's the fact versus fiction documentation that's in there. But I will say, for a contractor that, maybe wanting to get messaging out to the consumer, there are some great YouTube links that are on there.
Absolutely.
That you can actually, the contractor can incorporate into their own website. So kind of talking about, R32, as you mentioned, is it proven? Is it available? Is it efficient? Is it easy? And so kind of really leans into of those talking points we have.
And, our branches obviously are preparing for this transition, just as everybody in the industry is preparing for this transition to A2Ls. And obviously we know that R32 is the best choice of that. Our branches are also learning, educating themselves so that they'll be armed with information that if a customer comes in and has questions, we'll be able to either answer directly, or if it's more technical question, refer them to resources that will allow them to learn more about that. You brought up a couple of interesting points when we first started talking about, I think the first one was storage and transport. Be curious to know what the difference is between our traditional, 410A equipment and what our customers need to be aware of now that they're moving to an A2L refrigerant. What are the requirements for, say, storage?
So it's interesting. When we first started talking about A2Ls, and actually I just had another guest on the podcast here, Alex Ayers from Hardy, and it was great just talking back and forth with him. But when we first started looking at A2Ls, they were talking about treating A2Ls just like you treat propane.
Yeah, that's what I had heard,
And so every contractor, was worried because, sure. I mean, I got to store all of my propane outdoors.
Right,
it's got to be in a cabinet.
So
it's got to be well ventilated
safeguards,
and all kinds of, challenges that would be difficult when it comes to refrigerants. So here's the good news. I mean, the good news is they will be able to store A2Ls. They actually created their own designation. And I always give this caveat. You're going to have to check with your local fire inspectors and just make sure
yep.
that they're aware of the rules that have been put in place. But ultimately, you have to follow the rules that your local fire inspector is going to put in place.
Makes sense.
So I always just want to have that caveat there. But if you do not have a sprinkler system in the building, what my understanding is that you can store up to 10,000 pounds of refrigerant in
under
your space.
6 feet.
And so that's something that, you know, most contractors, I don't think, are going to be storing 10,000.
That's quite a bit.
That's a lot of refrigerant. If you have a sprinkler system, now you can go to 20,000 pounds yep. of refrigerant stored. So, I mean, that gives you a lot of flexibility in what you need to do.
And depending on the type of sprinkler system you have, the storage height will dictate.
So, but again, I just will always give the caveat, you got to check with the local inspector.
Makes
and,
sense.
And make Makes sure sense. That you're following all the rules that they set out. In terms of transportation, the good news is, again, that the manufacturer is actually the one that is going to be filing all the paperwork.
Yep.
So it's not the contractor or the distributor that has to worry about it. The manufacturer is doing the paperwork. And because of that, they look at each individual unit, self-contained unit.
Makes sense.
And so because of that, I mean, you're really not going to have any transportation limitations or issues that you're going to have to contend with.
To my understanding is that the laws that are in place now, the requirements that are in place now, EPA standards as far as transporting 410A really carry over
yes.
to R32. So if it's under 1,000 pounds, you know, obviously you can transport it without placarding over 1,000 pounds. You obviously you need placarding. And then I think the one difference is air transport. I don't think a ton of our customers are really flying it, right?
Right.
And so I think that's the one restriction is you can't transport it by air, but that's not a day-to-day thing, right?
Yeah, I think there's a handful of customers that maybe have to deal with that out on the oil platforms and rigs, and maybe
right.
also on
right.
In
right.
Alaska or something like that. But for the most part, you know, it's going to be business as usual for most contractors.
That's great. Another thing that that I know customers are asking, you know, my branch folks, and then my branch folks are asking us, is as we switch over, you know, we'll be selling through a lot of our 410A equipment, right? And then we'll be replacing that 410A equipment with R32 equipment. And then when there's a complete system changeover, there's probably not a whole lot you have to worry about, because if you're replacing the indoor unit, the coil, and the outdoor unit, you know, the furnace, the coil, and the outdoor unit, it's all R32,
right.
Pretty much plug and play. You don't have to worry about anything, right? But I could imagine especially in the first 6 months to a year, as we're transitioning to this and customers are going to be wanting to get replacement things, right? You know, a homeowner might say, what's broken? The installer might say, well, you need an outdoor unit. Mm. Looks like your other two things are fine, right? And then they'll come to us, and then obviously we need to be able to direct that customer appropriately, right? And that when we do these component type change outs to equipment, you know, what are the requirements, right? And then there's different things if you're replacing just the furnace, or you're mm-hmm. replacing just the outdoor unit. If you're replacing the outdoor unit, automatically you're probably going to need a coil, right? But if you're doing any combinations of that, how do we inform our customers about that, and how would our customers best know what the different things you need to do if you're replacing componentry within a system?
You know, that's a great point that you bring up, and we talk about it in depth in the roadshow. We mm-hmm. spend a lot of time going through that with contractors. So you got to look at what things are designated for. So one of the things going forward is if a coil was designated for 410A, you cannot run R32 or
right.
454B
right.
through that coil.
Right.
That coil, and once a coil is designated, in even, you know, like a third party coil that may be able to utilize multiple refrigerants.
Sure.
Once it has that first designation, it is going to be that designation
right.
For its lifetime.
Right.
And so if I go out there and there's a 410A coil, I'm putting in a R32 system, I have to change the coil.
Makes sense.
I have to
Makes
update sense, yeah. that coil that I have. Now, we're going to have A2L rated furnaces. Now, what does that mean? What that means is on the coils on a split system, there's a sensor in there, and that sensor is able to detect if there's a leak. And so there will be a cord that is going to plug into that A2L furnace that if it detects a leak, it'll actually turn on the blower, make sure that the burners don't turn on.
Right.
And it will dissipate that refrigerant out into the space so that you're below that lower flammability limit.
Makes sense.
And so if you have the A2L furnace, that coil is going to plug right into that furnace. But down here in Houston, as you know, people probably change their air conditioners out a lot more than they change their furnaces
exactly.
out just because
exactly.
the furnace doesn't get as much use here.
Right.
We have the opposite issue that happens up north where
sure.
you're changing your furnace out more than you change your condenser out.
Sure.
And so with that being said, not everybody is always changing a full system.
Right.
And so if you are putting in a new air conditioner, an R32 air conditioner with that coil on an existing furnace, where do I plug that sensor?
Right.
There's no place on that board. And so there is a separate board that you would mount on the outside of the furnace. Your sensor is going to plug into that. The thermostat would come into that board. And then that board would wire into the thermostat terminals on the existing furnace.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to do the same thing. It's going to kill the burner, and it's going to turn the fan on. So if you did have, if the system did sense that there was a leak, it would go ahead and dissipate the refrigerant so that you stay well below that lower flammability limit.
Makes sense. Yeah, I know a lot of what I think what the concern is that. We don't know where this, we as in our branches, don't necessarily know where the customer is intending to install.
Yeah.
Right? And so the environment in which they're intending to install, a lot of times it may have non-branded, non-Daikin branded equipment in there, right? The original equipment in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they're replacing with our equipment. And then if it's a partial install, right, where it's a component install, not a full system install, we kind of have to know what's there in order to make the appropriate decision
right.
as far as what we need to be able to set that dealer, that installer up for success as far as, ensuring they have all the right accessories and all the right parts in order to make that happen.
Absolutely.
And so one thing that that we're working on is having a flow chart available, right? So
mm-hmm.
that we'll post it in our branches and it'll be up there available for our customers to see, if the original unit is X, and the installing unit is why, what do I need to do?
Yep.
We'll be able to make a decision tree on that, but we'll also be providing that and training our branch folks on that so that when customer comes in and goes to the counter and or even calls or sends in an order, we'll be able to refer to that flow chart and say, if your original equipment is X and then the new equipment is Y, we'll set you up with success as far as ensuring that you've got the right information and the right parts and accessories that need to go with that.
Yeah. The one thing I want to stress to everybody is I really do truly believe that installing with R32 is going to be a lot easier
sure.
than 410A. There may be a couple of things that are different, but I think in the long run, this is just going to simplify so many different things for that new technician that's going out and putting the equipment in. And so that's going to help contractors to be more efficient out on the job site. And it's also going, with proper training, we can make sure that we reduce the amount of callbacks that our contractors have.
Absolutely.
So that it will help to increase profitability for
Absolutely.
All contractors
Absolutely.
Out there.
And I think the cool thing about R32 is that it's all R32.
Right.
It's pure R32, right? The other guy's stuff has a lot of R32 in it, right? And so I think
yeah.
that also can aid in, say, reclamation, right?
Absolutely.
Any thoughts around... what the reclamation process is there any difference between what we're doing now with 410A versus R32?
I think the biggest thing is where things are getting a little bit more complicated is you've got R22 and you've got 410A today. As we fast approach, we're rolling out our R32 and there's some other competitors that are rolling out 454B. So you're potentially going to have four different refrigerants on your truck.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
four different reclamation tanks.
Particularly, during the transition
yeah.
period, right? So that next year is going to be a little dicey, yeah.
We're going to probably continue to see R22 out there for at least the near foreseeable future. There's going to be systems that we're going to be replacing.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to make sure that you're getting the right refrigerant into the right reclamation tank.
Makes sense.
And, you know, the big thing that I get these questions all the time. Well, can I put R32 in a 454B system or vice versa? Can I put 454B into an R32 system? The answer is no.
Right.
you got to put in the refrigerant that system was designed for. Same with 410A. You can't put any of the A2Ls into a 410A system because they don't have the safety devices.
Sure.
And that compressor wasn't designed to work with that. But in terms of reclamation, being a single component, it is a lot easier to recycle and then get that refrigerant out. It's cleaning it up and getting it ready to go. Whereas the blends, 410A, 454B, are a little bit more difficult to make sure that you have the right mixture, because they do leak at unequal rates.
Sure.
And makes sense, so that you know, that can propose a little bit of a challenge in reclamation and recycling.
Very good. And we'll be adding R32 as one of the reclaimed obviously gases in our reclamation program at our branches. It looks like that's coming out sometime in September. You know, obviously with installations and stuff, you probably won't be doing a ton of reclaiming initially, right? But we'll be adding that to our reclamation program in the early fall.
I'm curious. I don't want to put you on the spot, but just to ask, how are we doing with reclamation goals and our initiatives as we've been rolling that out into the branches?
Yeah, it's across all of our branches. And it's really, it's taken off, right? And that it's just a great convenience, right? That you don't have to go somewhere else to drop these things off, and you get the empty canister coming back. It's really been, you know, a benefit for us. It allows for obviously repeat visits for our branches, but I think it's just a tremendous convenience to our customers where you have to go anywhere else, right? So it's taken off, and it's become a really popular item. I don't necessarily know that it draws them in, but it definitely brings them back, right?
Sure.
And that if you got a full tank, like, well, I go to my Daikin branch all the time. I can just drop that off, get an empty one. It's ready for me right there.
Yeah. So I mean, there's a lot of exciting things happening with A2Ls. I think it's just fascinating as we watch this industry continue to evolve. There's so many exciting things that are on the near future and the near horizon.
That's right.
And I would just encourage all of the dealers, all of our branch personnel, to continue to pay attention to all of these exciting new developments. I know that we're on the precipice of several new products, released this fall and into next year.
That's right, yeah.
And so there's going to be some exciting things that are available to really help our contractors help the end user with their energy efficiency needs, with their comfort needs, and everything else that we have available.
Agree. And I like the one-stop shop concept of the HVAC Learning Campus.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be even easier once those QR codes are actually on your, are on the receipts already. Just scan that. It takes you straight to the R32 page. And so any updates on anything R32 that we think makes sense for our customers to see is going to be on that page. So I think it's just great to have that one stop available for them.
No, Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey,
I don't know if you have any last final thoughts that you want to share with our audience.
I think that the key piece is that we had talked about earlier is just how simple it should be, right? Mm. You got your jug, you got your reverse threaded valve, then you got your gauges. You can go, right? I mean, everything else is extra, and we'd love you to buy everything else, but you can really go with just those things.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
And for all of you that are out there, if you like this episode, please go ahead and hit that like button. Also, make sure that you're following us so that you can be informed of all of our upcoming episodes. Thank you again, Bob, and we look forward to seeing you on future episodes.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.